Rory here, back with, you know, back down to the XNA Studios dev area. I'm talking to Frank Savage today. And Frank, what do you do? Who are you?
I'm the development manager for the XNA team. My job is to manage all of the developers, the guys that are writing all the magic code that's going to allow you guys to be able to make really great games on both Xbox and Windows.
Okay. So, I want to talk to you a little bit about your history, because you've got some posters on the wall that
sure.
I have to cover before we get into the nitty-gritty of XNA, just because I grew up with the stuff that you were making. I mean, not with... Well, let's first go to your keychain.
Sure.
I didn't grow up with this stuff.
Yeah,
if you guys want to... First of all, you guys are going to be jealous in a few minutes, because Frank has about the coolest job in the world, okay? And you know, you're going to be wanting to kill him, but he paid his dues. What do we have here?
So, as you can see, I originally started in the coal mines of southeast Ohio. This is Meg's Mine number 2. And these little tags that are on my keychain are here because this is what you used to hang up on the outside when you'd pick up your helmet light. And that way, they would know what body it is to go look for if something bad happened. So, they'd go to the board. Whoever had their tag hanging up, they'd be like, oh, need to go find them. So, that was... little bit different than the current job. It's all high voltage electrical engineering as well, so it's a little bit different than today.
And you said a minute ago you spent 3 years underground.
Yes.
Okay, so when I met Frank, the lights were all off in his office. You know, this is the second time I was here. He turned the light on, and it's got this little dimmer on it. And I walk in, and he thinks, okay, we're going to have some video shot here. So he's got the thing dimmed to this, you know.
Right,
and he's squinting, you know.
Right, this is really bright for me.
Yeah, so Mike is like, mole man. You know, and this is a whole new experience for him. So this is a first for you guys out at Channel 9. This is a first for Frank getting to see light this bright. But
yeah, it's the first time I've actually seen my office with the light. Interesting.
But pretty cool. So over here on his wall. So first we got the history about his work in the coal mines. But over here, and we got a Wing Commander 3 Heart of the Tiger poster. Now I don't know about you, but I was a big Wing Commander fan back when I was, you know, playing a lot of games and stuff. And I still play a lot of games. But Wing Commander 3 was actually one of my favorites. And Frank, what was your involvement there with that?
So I was the director of Wing Commander 3. Wing Commander was a passion of mine. As you see on the other side of the wall there's a license plate from Illinois that says Wing Commander 1 on it. This was before I started to work at Origin Systems on Wing Commander 3. So as you can see, I was a little bit of...
You were in that before, yeah.
Yeah, on Wing Commander. So getting the job and actually not only just being a programmer on Wing Commander 3, which is all I would have hoped for, but to actually lead it and direct it.
Yeah.
Was just a dream come true. It was the ultimate in doing that. So Chris Roberts went off to Hollywood, did all kinds of filming for all the live-action stuff, and I stayed back in Austin and got the game done.
Cool. So you were one of those geeks where when the original Wing Commander came out, you spent all your time pushing everything into expanded memory so you could see the hand with the flight stick.
That's exactly right. So actually went out the day that Wing Commander came out, bought a sound card, bought Wing Commander 1, actually, I'd seen Wing Commander 1 at a convention called Gen Con in Milwaukee. And after I'd saw Wing Commander 1, I stopped by the software store very nearly every night on the way home from work until it came out.
Yeah.
Called every friend I had in the world over, said, you got to see this game, it's unbelievable, and then proceeded for the next year to play Wing Commander 1 every night for about 3 hours a night.
I think I did that too.
Yeah, it was...
So atmospheric, you know, that game.
Yeah.
I mean, like, the scene where they're scrambling, running down to their fighters
exactly.
And everything. You know, that first ship you have, the Hornet. And,
yeah.
I mean, I love that game. That was such a fun game.
It's
that was
very,
good stuff.
Very, that's what we were trying to capture with Wing Commander 3. We were trying to get back to that root of...
You did, too, yeah.
Yeah,
it was,
we did. It was
more technologically advanced, but still the same atmosphere and the same great stuff. So I have to ask, did you get to meet Mark Hamill at all?
I did. Yes.
Wow. So, man, this guy meant Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, you know you've gotten somewhere, I guess, in the game business when you're in a press show at Universal Studios in Hollywood, and Mark comes in. He's going to get his morning cup of coffee.
Yeah, you guys hear that? Mark.
Coffee. Yeah,
Mark came in.
Pats me in the back and says, hey, how's it going, Frank? And I'm like, oh, pretty good, Mark. And then you just...
Dude,
my God.
So he touched you.
He did.
Okay, well, here.
Well, so yeah, there you go.
There, okay, so I touched Frank. So
that's right. So
through Frank, I have touched Luke Skywalker.
That's right.
Or Mark Hamill, as he probably likes to be called during the day. And night, too, I would imagine. Okay, so that's cool. Did you also work on Strike Commander?
Yes. I was. So I started at Origin Systems in September of 91. That poster was made actually about 2 weeks before I actually moved down to Austin, but I had already accepted the job. So my name is on the poster. Which is very, very cool, and I wasn't expecting to get names on anything by that point, so I haven't actually done anything on the game yet, other than accept a job. But that one was much harder than Wing Commander 3.
Yeah.
We were doing technology that was significantly beyond what a processor at that time could do in terms of texture mapping.
Well, that's the way Origin was, though. The joke going around was Origin, it's time to buy a new game. You know, every single time a new Origin game came out. Didn't that come out around the same time as Privateer as well?
Yeah, it was around that same time.
Yeah, I remember that. That was when I had a 386 SX16 with 1 mega RAM, and you guys were pushing my machine a little too hard.
Yeah.
It eventually just caught on fire, vaporized, and I swept the ashes up. And that was the end of it.
People used to go shopping with the SKU labels on Origin games at CompUSA. They'd walk into CompUSA, they'd pick up a new Origin game, they'd walk over to the guys, all right, what's this? Do I have that at home? Do I need to buy a new computer or whatever? So
you're used to doing stuff that kind of goes to the limits then and doing really exciting things, which brings us to XNA.
Sure.
So before we head over to XNA, let's show people the experience, just because... you know, I walked into Frank's office here, and I got treated to a pretty cool sight. I don't know how many other people at Microsoft have one of these sitting on their desk, but this is a Samsung HDTV here running at 1080p, all right? So this is, like, super-duper high def. I don't know about the rest of you out there who own Xbox 360s, but I didn't even know they could do 1080p. And you're saying they can do them with what, the fall drop? Is that what?
That's correct. There will be an update to the fall flash on Xbox 360 that will allow you to change your console display settings in the HDTV screen to one beyond 1080i or 1080p.
And there it is, 1080p. Just to show you, so that's the real thing. This is the real experience. He's actually going through it right now. And this is very cool. So what you're going to show us now is a game that is going to be shipping with XNA Studio. Is that right? It's
one of the starter kits. There's a starter kit that a lot of our fans have already downloaded and played with in the betas called Space War. This is another starter kit that will be coming onto the XNA platform here. Sometime after launch, we're not exactly sure how long yet. It's still in a very alpha stage, so you're getting a very, very sneak preview here. But this is the experience of actually playing and launching on Xbox 360. So we actually have an XNA game launcher here. You can actually then launch that exactly the same way you would an Xbox Live Arcade game or something like that. And there, for the first time, probably to the mass world, is what XNA game launcher looks like. This is still the old XNA branding, so there's new logos and stuff like that coming to the screen that are still a little bit classified, so you can't quite show everything yet. So the cool part about this is I can actually connect to my computer using my retail Xbox, and this will bring up a thing. We go and we verify that you have an Xbox Live connection, and then after we verify the Live to subscription that you've purchased for this, we go ahead and are now waiting for a computer connection. So if you go over to the PC, this is Microsoft Visual C# Express Edition here, and we can go ahead and load up... So we'll go ahead and load up the game. We're going to demo. That would probably be fun.
Okay, so over there you actually have XNA Studio up and running with Code the Mother here. I'm going to come around to your other side so I can get a view of that. So this is actual real live code here.
Yes.
And you're going to build this and then send it over to the Xbox and then play the game. Is that right?
Correct. Okay. So just, again, standard.
So we see that the build is started.
Launch.
And the deployment is started.
So we're actually copying files over to the Xbox. You can see that the Xbox has the file that is currently being deployed displayed on it as well. So you get an idea that as Windows is showing you, I'm deploying something, the Xbox is confirming, yes, I see it and it's coming. It takes a fair amount of time to deploy all this stuff. This game is about 100 megabytes in size, and we're doing it file by file to the Xbox.
And what kind of connection is it?
It's standard Ethernet. So if you've got 100 megabit Ethernet connection, unfortunately the XNA stuff does not support wireless for a number of different reasons. Probably the biggest reason why we don't is just the bandwidth. We want to be able to push stuff to the Xbox as fast as possible, and frankly as reliably as possible with the wireless stuff. If you've got any noise going on, you're in the middle of a deploy like this, and your wife turns on the microwave, which happens to me fairly regularly, suddenly your deploy may or may not have succeeded. You get to deploy all these files again. As you can see, this is not a 5-second process.
Yeah,
it takes a little while to get these over there. The cool part is we have an incremental deploy. So once you've deployed these to the Xbox 360, you actually don't have to deploy them again. It'll automatically check the files that are there, make sure that if nothing has changed, we don't actually send it 2, 3, 4 times. Because if you had to do this every single time, I think people might be a little upset with us. I certainly...
Well, I tell you what, Frank, I mean, given, you know, like, when people actually see what it is that you can do with first XNA Studio over there, which is, that's free, right?
Right.
Okay, so XNA Studio is free. Now, the version actually, just to make sure that will connect to the 360, you got to pay for that, is that correct?
Right. So the bits that actually get downloaded onto your Xbox 360 from the Xbox Live Marketplace, there's two components. One component is the XNA game launcher, which is actually free.
Okay.
But unfortunately, it won't run without the subscription, which isn't.
Okay.
So the subscription is $99 for a year, and that gets you 1 year of the program running for sure on your Xbox.
Okay, cool.
So
that's what it costs to be able to deploy to the Xbox.
Exactly.
Now, that's not bad. That is not bad at all. And run it. So now the deployment is finished. Is that right?
That's correct. And so now we are actually running, and you can get an idea. You can see there's the new XNA logo, so I kind of lied when it's all secret. It's actually right there. This game was done by a company in Germany called Xtreme. They've also done a couple of other games like Arena Wars and some other examples of Microsoft's managed code doing cool things like, for example, Rocket Commander. This is running at full 1080p at 30 frames per second. That's a really phenomenal achievement when you think about the fact that this is all C#, it's all managed code, it's all being jitted on the fly as we are running here. You can see we go ahead and push start. We actually have an option screen. It actually looks and feels like a real game. We have three different cars right
now.
Well,
it is a real game.
It is,
yeah,
exactly.
So,
it's alpha, but it is an actual
it's real
game.
You know, this blows me away. I mean, that is C#, you know, managed code,
yep,
running on an Xbox 360 at 1080p, right?
With 2x anti-aliasing, by the way.
and only on a single core.
Exactly.
The other two cores are just sitting pretty
waiting for something to do. Now, we are spending a lot of time on the graphics processing unit, or the GPU, in the Xbox 360 right now. But this gives you an idea of how phenomenally powerful that is. This processor that's in the Xbox 360 today is as powerful as, you know, state-of-the-art graphics cards that you go to the CompUSA and buy today for about $100 more than an Xbox 360 costs. So you're getting a lot of value when you buy an Xbox 360 and then add this to it, and you're now programming on, you know, very much the state-of-the-art.
Cool.
We have three different tracks. These little diagrams don't really represent what the track looks like. But we have beginner, advanced, and expert.
Do you think you can handle expert? Oh, you're going to do beginner.
I'm going to do beginner because the expert track has a bug in it.
Oh, okay, that's
but
cool.
I can do the advanced track as well. I've spent a fair amount of time playing this. So we're running at 30 frames per second, 1080p, 2x multi-sample anti-aliasing, which means we're essentially drawing the screen at 2x 1080p resolution and then downscaling it to get rid of a lot of the jaggies and polygonal artifacts that occur. And you can see that we've got a really decent frame rate. Very nice physics on the car. You can see it's laying down tire tracks there. Those actually persist. We'll come back around the track here, and those will still be there.
I use C# to make, like, database apps.
Yes, the time has come for C# to...
That is just amazing that you can do that with C# and manage code. And
so we have the little loop here. This is a pretty significant challenge. I make it look easy, but it turns out the first time you sit down and try and play this, it's much harder to get around that than you think.
Yeah, I tried to do that when I first came in, and I landed the car very, very, very poorly. Yeah, that just blows me away.
So a lot of the other things that you get with Xbox, you get by using the Xbox XNA part of the framework as well. So, for example, maybe this music doesn't appeal to you, and, you know, whatever your personal tastes are, that's fine. The slide out for picking your own music works just like it does with every other Xbox 360 game. I can go into select music and on my hard drive. And I can pick, I don't actually have anything on here except the sample album, but I can play sample song 1 now.
So, in using the XNA stuff, like, you're not dealing with a crippled system. It's
no.
Just full-blown 360
You have
experience.
Access
yeah.
to all of the stuff on the Xbox 360 that professional developers do. Now, there are a couple exceptions in our first release. Probably the biggest one will be access to Xbox Live and networking.
Okay.
So, we're working on how to secure that. Number one, but number two, we also want the same experience in terms of development and programming
On Xbox that you would have on Windows. So when there's a team here that's working on bringing the Xbox Live experience in terms of networked games and so forth to the Windows platform as well. And we want to use their APIs and we want to use their code and have, again, that single unified code experience. This game runs exactly the same on Windows as it does on Xbox 360. In fact, if we go back to the options screen, one of the interesting things is you'll actually see that we support all of the different pixel shaders back to pixel shader 1.1. So, and very low resolution, 640 by 480. So you could run this game on a GeForce 3, essentially a six-year-old graphics card, and it would work just fine. It would run at a very fast frame rate, again, depending on what attributes you picked and so forth, so that you could be sure that you would be getting the best experience.
So just to be clear to everybody, like with this stuff, you don't need to deploy to a 360. You can learn how to develop for the 360 on Windows.
Yes.
And you don't even need like a top-end system. You can use an older system, and it'll still be all right because you can run it 640 by 480 and... just turn some of the features down, and that's really, really cool.
Yep.
So you're making game development extraordinarily accessible, is what you're doing. I mean, manage code, you got this really cool ability for $99 here to be able to just send everything over to the Xbox. I mean,
it's pretty amazing stuff. I mean, the other thing to keep in mind is that all of the code that runs XNA Racer runs XNA Racer exactly the same on both Windows and Xbox without any code changes.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the exact same code with like maybe 0.1% differences, where we have some if-def Xbox 360s in there, really runs identical to the Windows side of it. And the cool part about that is that, again, exactly as Rory was stating, you can go ahead and have the whole development experience on Windows and know that when you say, okay, I'd like to see it on Xbox now, it's probably going to work.
Let me ask you a question here, Frank Savage.
Mm-hmm.
We're running. We're developing. We're getting everything together okay. The thing's on the 360. Can you set a breakpoint?
Yes. So here, let's see. Where are we? So we're in the base game now. Let's try and go somewhere. Oh, here's the update. This is probably running every frame. So I can go ahead and kick a breakpoint here. And you can see that we actually stopped on the input here.
And over here, the game has actually stopped.
So we've actually stopped. The music is still playing, again, because Xbox likes to do things in the background for you.
And that's not part of the game. That's part of the Xbox core service, right?
Exactly. So the core services on Xbox are all still running, even though we're in managed code. We're a fully compliant client with the Xbox. And again, we chose to the dashboard to play this music, so the dashboard's going to go ahead and keep playing it for us.
Can you step?
Yep. We can actually step line by line through this and get an idea. For example, here's how many milliseconds it took me to wait this is how long the game's been running in milliseconds.
That is awesome.
And you can see that
I mean, do people get this? The guy just set a breakpoint on a 360, right?
Yep. On a retail kit on an Xbox 360.
Yeah, you don't need a special 360. I mean, this just blows me away.
Yep. So we make sure that the elapsed time is never zero. You know, frame count this second is, this is how many we've done. This is the total frame count so far in the game. As 1 second elapsed, well, then we calculate we update the sound, and then basically keep running. And again, we have the call stack here, so you can see who's going to call us when we step out of this. We'll go back to the update code. Again, the Xbox, or XNA is providing an application model or a framework so that your game runs very quickly and easily. So, for example, one of the things we can do, again, we can go ahead and tell it to stop. It goes ahead and stops, and again, the dashboard's going to continue to happily play music for us, because that's what we told it to do. So we'll go ahead and tell it to be nice and quiet now. And one of the cool things about this is how hard it is to basically set up a new project. So I go in here and I say new project, and I want an Xbox 360
game. Dude, Xbox 360 game is a project type. That is so awesome.
Okay. So we basically say, okay, we want a new Xbox 360 game. And there it is. We now have a new Xbox 360 game. And you can see, you know, here's where you initialize your code. This is the template that you get. Here is where you do any resource management.
So you've got all the comments in there so the devs aren't totally lost when they open this up.
So they can do this line by line and go through. Here's where your update logic goes. We have a function called update. Here's where your drawing code goes. We have a thing called draw.
Can we do like a hello world? Would that be really, really hard?
No.
Let's do hello world.
It depends on how you want to say hello, because we don't really have a lot of font capability built into it by default.
Can you do a really simple, stupid hello world here for us?
So if we just hit run right now, we're going to go ahead and build this and deploy it to the Xbox.
Okay.
And we're going to run, and we're going to clear the screen to Cornflower Blue, which is basically a really lovely blue color that should probably tell you that you probably done something nothing yet, because no one would choose to use that color in a game.
But is that the game then? That was the whole game right there.
That was it. We're actually pulling all the stuff. So now let's say we actually wanted to see something. How can I do something really easy? Let's see.
Still being able to just compile and run is cool enough, just out of the box,
There's lots of... So one of the things that's really interesting about this is... Let's actually go to one of the starter kits here. So we can take... there's a Space War 360 starter kit. And go ahead and put this in a 360.
And you know this game pretty well.
Yeah. I've actually worked on Space War now too long, frankly. So what we're going to do here is... This is a full starter kit, and this is how the starter kits are going to get distributed. What actually happens is we go in and we build out an entire project that allows you to mod Space War from the beginning. So we have all the content placed into the content directories. We have a content pipeline in Xbox, as part of XNAM, that will go ahead and compile 3D assets, compile textures, compile sound, compile the shaders, so that all of your content is essentially treated as the same as your code. It's in Visual Studio. We actually process it and build it just like we do the C# code. So here, for example, we've created a brand new Xbox 360 Space War Xbox game. And we have a content directory here. And you can see that we have a bunch of textures in the content directory here. So one of the textures that we have here is probably the Space War title final. So we'll go ahead and run this. This will run Photoshop, because that's what's currently bound to a Targa, as in Windows.
Okay.
So whatever Windows wants to open a TGA file with is going to come up and open that TGA file from Visual Studio. And you can see here
the
Space War splash screen.
Modify that a little bit?
Exactly. So what we're going to do
Can you do me a favor? Oh, can you do me a huge favor?
Oh, what would you like?
Go to Neapolian.com. that's N-E-O-P-O-L.
N-E-O-P-O-L.
E-O-N. .com. Okay, now what you're gonna see here is a photo of me. Okay, now can you right click on that image and then copy it in and paste it over Space War
So we can copy that. I'm not sure if how well this pastes something like that in. Let's find out. There we go.
Good, right in the center. Right. I like that.
So there we go. So now we just basically come in here and we say save. And don't want to save it as a PSD because we don't understand those, but we do understand Targas. So we want it as a Targa. We're going to save it as it's going to come out as final copy here, so we don't want final copy. We actually want to overwrite final. And say, yes, I want to replace it.
And you're going to put up the whole starter kit with my image in it like
that.
Yes. Okay, good.
So we've run. We've gone ahead and saved that out. So we can go to Space War now. And again, we just hit build.
Okay.
And you can see we're actually building all of the content on the PC side here. And this is our content pipeline. What we're doing is we're converting the Targas to a binary format that the Xbox and or Windows DirectX can consume much more readily. We're changing the .x or .fbx or FilmBox files to, again, a model and mesh format that the Xbox 360 and Windows can consume much more readily. And we're changing the shaders. We're compiling the shaders offline so that you can see your errors here in the shader code. You don't run the game and get a shader error and then have to try and debug that. It's all right here.
Cool.
Fonts. The sound is going to be recompiled here. We could actually go in and run the exec tool and change the sound for the game if we really wanted to. And then we would actually see that. So now we've built all the content, and we're going to go ahead and deploy it to the Xbox. And again, you're seeing each of the files get deployed here as we did them. And again, this is an incremental thing. We didn't change anything, actually, in the last game. But if we did, in this game, for example, if it turns out that Roy's picture doesn't come through on the Xbox very well here, we could go back into Photoshop, clean it up, and when we rebuilt this, we would only rebuild the Space War final TGA, and it would only deploy that file
as
the executable if the executable changed.
So then it'll just be a quick snap little... Okay, well, very, very good.
Cool. Fast iteration, because slow iteration is terrible and boring, and people really don't like that. They don't think that's a feature.
Well, I think the worst part about it here is just that people are going to be so excited to use this, and, you know, when excitement goes up, patience goes way down.
Exactly.
It's just like you were talking about. You know, you used to go to the store every day, you know, looking for
Wing
Commander, and when you're going to the store, did you go to Egghead? Is that where you went?
Back in the day, it was Egghead, yeah. Every day.
That was fun. I used to go there every week and just wander around looking at all the games and, you know, wishing I had a few bucks just to buy one, but...
That Wing Commander cost me a fair chunk of change back in the day, because, you know, I needed a sound card, and then I had a
right. new computer, time machine, and...
yeah.
Well, at the time, flux capacitor.
That's right, exactly. To be able to play it again. Had to wire it up so you get it to the stereo, because there's no speakers back in the day.
Okay.
There's no PC speakers back then. So
yeah! Look at that. Rory Blythe on the 360, on
that
the Xbox
1080p.
360. Rory Blythe 1080p on the Xbox 360. Man, that is like... You want me to autograph the screen?
That's,
I can do that.
I bet the actual owner
that TV
of
was only
would really love this. Yeah, this is about a $3,000 TV, so... you know, it is an MS asset, so it doesn't really bother me much.
I'll use a, you know, a non-permanent.
Yeah, maybe the
just wipe it off.
And like wipe off.
Dude, that is so cool. I cannot. I mean, I'm on a 360. Look, I mean, you know.
There it is.
I know this interview is about you and your cool
That's
stuff,
right,
but dude, I'm on a 360.
Involve the audience
and how easy it is to get your stuff on.
That's right.
You know what, man? When somebody takes this home and starts playing with it and puts their own face on something in Space War, because I'm seriously that excited about it. You know, I feel like a little kid.
Absolutely.
And I mean, I want to print this out and show it to people. You know, oh man. So can you play it?
For those of you who haven't seen it, there's a retro mode.
So there's the original one.
Here's the original Space War.
And that was designed for the PDP-1?
That's correct. This was actually the very first video game, but it was before commercial video games were made popular by Pong and things of that nature. So
tell me again how they did the graphics for the original, because that's kind of a cool story.
Yeah, in the original version of Space War, there were no graphics displays. Back then, it was punch
they,
cards.
They didn't have GeForce cards. Yeah.
Exactly. So what they did was they actually had the internal logic in the computer drive change in voltage, and they hooked that up to an oscilloscope. And by driving it very, very quickly, they could get scanning and scan lines and pretty much exactly the same stuff that happens in a TV today, because they knew how TVs worked back then. And they were able to duplicate what a TV does by outputting changes in voltage very, very quickly to an oscilloscope.
Very cool, hackers. You know, that's a great idea.
So we can now do the Evolve side of this as well. And you can see the Evolve side's a little more modern.
A little fancier,
than the previous side.
So did you write a whole oscilloscope emulator on top of the game, or
we just actually used the native API card that's in the Xbox today to be able to do this. And it turns out they have a lot of the functionality built in to be able to shade and draw textures and that kind of stuff. So again, you can change ships. So one of the things that probably our audience has immediately noticed is that the ships look very jaggy. So there's lots of little jaggy lines and stuff like that on the ships that really indicate to me that anti-aliasing must not be on Xbox. So as a result, that makes me very angry. I paid all this money for this game, and why is anti-aliasing not on? So to give you an idea of how hard, quote-unquote, it is to be able to change that, so here's the Space War code. And again, we've given you all this. And right here at the beginning, we have the lines that actually set up the graphics device. And because we've given you a framework, we can actually go in, and you'll notice that we have IntelliSense on all this, so you don't even have to really know it that well. You just need to flip down here. And there's prefer multi-sampling. Gets or sets a value that indicates whether to enable a multi-sampled back buffer. So we kind of want to enable that, because we've paid all this money for the Xbox GPU. We want to actually utilize it. So again, we go ahead and we compile. You can see it compiles C# very, very fast as usual. Go ahead and do the build. We'll deploy that. We'll skip all the deploying of the files that are
faster.
Already there.
Yeah, much faster.
And now we're back in here. So now you'll notice that the jaggies on the ships are much nicer than before. So we're actually multi-sampling, and we have the anti-aliasing turned down. Now, for those of you who've actually done native Xbox development,
you'll realize, or you may be a little envious, because it's not actually one little command line on the graphics device to change to multi-sampling. There's actually a bunch of stuff you have to do to make that happen. That's where XNA comes in. We have a framework, and we could teach our customers all of the esoteric around setting all this stuff on the Xbox, but we think they'd rather probably just make a game. And so we just go ahead, and if you want to turn multi-sampling on, well, here's a command to do it. One line, set it to true, you're all good to go. Can you tweak it? Sure. We actually expose all the low-level stuff as well. So if 2x multi-sample or 4x multi-sample isn't enough for you, you can go in and add any number of samples. There's ways to catch the presentation parameters before they go down to the device and actually change it to whatever you'd like it to be.
Cool.
So here you can see we have the ships, and we're happily blowing things up and not running into the sun.
It looks like it's Space War, a two-player game?
Yes, this okay. is. So if you plug in a another controller, we'll actually, the other person can play. Part of the fun of this is we actually have some AI on the enemy ship here. Basically, its job is to fall into the sun for you. You would think that it would be very difficult to lose to this AI. However, several people on the team have actually lost to the fall into the sun AI because they've actually flown their ship into the sun multiple times. Which led one of the developers to actually think that maybe the sun should be a third player and it should get the kills if you can't actually kill them yourself. After you've finished a game of Space War, you actually have the opportunity to purchase new weapons. So based on how many kills you get that many times $1,000 to be able to go buy weapons.
And there's a joke right there.
Yeah, exactly. The more observant in our audience will note that the weapons are named after a certain device that might have been the originator of this particular game. And however, the weapons are a little bit more advanced than perhaps were capable of back in that day. So
this is only using one of the Xbox's oscilloscopes.
Yes, one of the oscilloscopes is going with this one here. So you can actually see.
So you got the upgrade there.
Yeah, this one actually fires lots and lots of bolts. Ooh, and then
that's right into the sun.
That's how you lose
to the sun. So can you tell me about how many lines of code this game is?
So this is about probably 8,000 on a
okay.
day.
So it doesn't take that much to put together, you know, a game where you've got this floating nebulous background. You've got the sun that seems to beat everybody.
Yes.
So I would imagine about 6,000 lines is just the AI for the sun.
Right. The sun is
pulling people into it.
Is clearly very advanced in this game. But we're doing real collision detection. We have collision detection between the bolts and the asteroids. The asteroids and the ships. For example,
is that built into XNA? Is there the concept of a sprite and of a?
So there isn't that concept, but there is the concept of a lot of the 3D stuff in terms of collision detection
okay.
we do have for you. So we'll generate bounding spheres, bounding boxes for you. We have code to actually collide those together for you. And these ships, for example, are very long and narrow, and so probably a sphere isn't the best way to represent these ships. So the ships actually have multiple spheres denoting them, and we actually have that code in there to show you how to lay down multiple
okay.
spheres on a very long object, so you don't have to worry about, I've got to figure out how to rotate a box in 3D and all of that. We go ahead and try to give you a hint for that.
Oh, look at that, you won.
And so when
you beat
win,
the sun this time.
I beat the sun and the AI. As you can see, you get a little splash screen here that says you win, and then you get to restart if you would like to, and see this again.
Look at that.
Isn't that...
Neapolitan game. That's what it's called, Neapolitan game.
That's right. Space War, Neapolitan.
Well, yeah, that's sort of an afterthought right there, but Neapolitan game.
But the important part is clearly...
Well, very cool.
So we can also... as you see, we can just exit these and go back. So another cool thing that XNA does allow you to do is once you have compiled these games and placed them onto your Xbox, you don't have to go and run off and grab your dev kit and hook your PC up and have everything work again. Instead, once the game is deployed to the Xbox, we can actually just run it whenever we want using our game browser.
Because it's just sitting out there on the hard drive
exactly.
and ready to go.
It's all ready to go. So we can just decide, for example, this was Space War that we just ran, and we'll demonstrate that by showing you the magic Neapolitan again.
So it's the same Space War.
So it's the same Space War that we just ran. We can also, this is the Xbox 360 Game 1 that we just created with our starter kit. Note that whatever you name the game, obviously, will propagate to the Xbox, so your game's name will show up.
I love this game, just blue.
Just blue.
It's relaxing. It I is. Like that. It's a relaxing kind of quiet game. It just kind of blues at you. You
never
know?
Has 1080p been utilized at that level of quality, I think. And then the racer game is also here. The other cool thing is that, again, we are a full-fledged real Xbox client, and those are actually sitting in real content stores. So if you want to get rid of a game, for example, you've decided that the little cornflower blue game is sure, is really lovely, but I don't want it anymore. You can go into the XNA game launcher here, and it actually shows you all the games that are associated with our game launcher.
Nice.
So you can see the Xbox 360 game 1 is only 72K, so it's not using a lot of disk space. But again, you may not want it there anymore, so you can just go ahead and say, yeah, get rid of that. I really don't need it. And yes, I want to permanently delete it. And there it goes, all gone. So you can keep whatever games you want. You can see XNA Racer is pretty big. Space War is pretty big. You do,
yeah, 73 megs.
Yeah, exactly. We do require the hard drive for this, so you know, you can't really. You can do stuff with the memory unit. We do allow you to write save games and so forth using the XNA frameworks. Mm-hmm. So you can store off high scores. You could store off the gamer settings if they picked a different shader model or if they wanted a different starting piece of music or something like that. You can mm-hmm. save all those. Those will all get saved as save games exactly the same way as Xbox understands save games and be able to do everything. You know, going forward, we want to add some live support. There is a significant number of people in the Xbox organization that would love to see us support the camera, that would love to see us support the wheel with force feedback. All of those kinds of things are almost certainly coming. It's just a question of when and how quickly we can whip them up.
So. Seriously, though, Frank, I mean, when this comes out, I mean, and it's done and it's packaged and it's RTM and all that, people are just going to be so happy. Maybe there won't be wheel support. Maybe there won't be camera support out of the box right off the bat. But, yet, I mean, to be able to do this... is just going to blow people away.
Yes.
I mean,
this is really
I'm
cool.
Pretty blown
I'm,
away
I'm spoiled. I've had an Xbox dev kit since Xbox One. I joined the Xbox One team about 4 months before launch of Xbox One. So I've had a dev kit forever, and I've always been able to kind of muck with the Xbox and do kind of whatever I like. But to not have to take the dev kit home, to not have to try to actually, you know, lift one from here and, you know, bring it back every day because you kind of they don't really allow you to have 8 dev kits, is awesome. I mean, just be able to go home, be able to do retail games, or games on a retail kit, actually. Can't really sell them yet. Maybe yet. There are plans. We've talked a lot about, you know, how do we share this? How does the community build itself up, and how do we share Xbox games?
Mm-hmm.
You know, from the start here, the only way you're going to be able to do it is somebody's going to have to give you the project with all the source code. You can compile it, and it'll deploy to your Xbox. Then as long as you never delete it, you'll be able to play their game as long as you want. But right now, you're sharing the source and everything else in order to be able to do that. And wouldn't it be cool if right here on this little blade there was something that said, you know, XNA community sharing?
That would be cool, yeah. If you could just go right in there and grab other people's games, yeah.
See what other games people have been making. You know, wouldn't it be cool if your gamer tag started to reflect the fact that you were an XNA developer and there was some other magic ranking that showed up there as I have done this many community games. You know, we're now talking 2+ years out
right.
to see a lot of this stuff. But the sky's the limit. I mean, we're really trying to do what I think the game industry has needed for a significant period of time, which is there are lots of people with really great game ideas. Problem is they can't do anything with them or about them. And that's wrong. We should enable those game developers to be able to make the games that they envision and that they dream about. Whether it's, 2.5D marble matching games or things of that nature, all the way out to, you know, the next first-person shooter that's going to go after Halo. The gameplay, a lot of it's going to show up here. I think you're going to be able to do a lot of the stuff we certainly have seen right now, even in before we've even launched, that the performance characteristics of an Xbox One we can do in managed code with the GPU that's here. And in fact, to a large extent, something like XNA Racer would be nearly impossible on Xbox One because we have a much more powerful graphics unit.
And you just hit it in managed code and very, very cool.
Yep.
So when is that going to ship? Are you allowed to say, or is that not something? In fact, actually,
there are.
I won't pester you with those questions.
It will be before Christmas.
Okay, all right.
The exact date, I think, is still may still be secret, and so I better not say.
Okay, that's understandable.
I like my job.
I like your job too, actually. Yeah. As a matter of fact, Frank Savage. Yep. Okay. Well, is there anything else you'd like to talk about? I feel like we covered a lot of good stuff here. I mean, we took a look at, you know, XNA Studio, how you can, you know, throw your game out to the Xbox 360 and then even set a breakpoint if you want to and do the whole dev thing. We saw the IntelliSense, talked about the experience, talked about Origin. I mean, we did the whole thing. Yep. Anything else you want to mention before I go? Or
Just amazing cross-group collaboration. This was not the XNA team working in a vacuum here. This was... Yeah. The .NET Compact Framework is what's actually running on Xbox, so the .NET Compact Framework team has done an amazing job bringing this to the Xbox in an incredibly short period of time. Many people don't realize how short a period of time. The fact of the matter is that this March at GDC, we were showing prototypes of this. We had no code running.
Wow.
So what you are seeing is the end result of about 6 months' worth of work in a collaboration between the .NET Compact Framework team, the Xbox 360 core software team, the GDK team here in terms of their APIs and their understanding of what goes on, some of the smartest people from the game business going in and building the content pipeline side of it. Tom Miller, who was the original owner of Managed DirectX, is now working on the XNA team and was responsible for most of the framework architecture here on both Xbox and Windows.
6 months, so that is amazing.
Yes, so some of us have not been home in a while. We're hoping to ship this soon so that we can actually, you know, see our kids and find out what they look like now and stuff like that. But honestly, this was not just the XNA team. The Xbox team, the .NET Compact Framework team, the Visual Studio team helped us with integration into C# Express. All of those things, just phenomenal group effort to bring this to the masses and get them making games, which at the end of the day is what it's all about.
Yeah.
Because I want better games to play.
Yeah, and this one thing you'll definitely see. I mean, just with all the different, you know, intelligent, crazy, kooky, you know, things going on out there, all these different people, you're going to see a lot of weird stuff, you know,
sure,
popping up. And hopefully it'd be neat, you know, to see something like XNA Spaces or something where people put up their profiles and their games and just... You know, maybe they vote for each other, and you just see the craziest, weirdest games popping up out of people's minds, you know? Because this ought to appeal to, like, you know, teens and people in their early adulthood, and that's when you're at your absolute most insane, you know?
That's right.
Hormones running wild, can't think straight, you know, build a weird game,
you know?
It'll be neat. I'm very much looking forward to what this is going to do for gaming and for my Xbox as well, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I see myself grab... So can I play other people's Xbox? I'm sorry, to go back to it.
Sure.
I can play other people's XNA games?
You can. The biggest deal will be...
I need that subscription.
You'll need the subscription, and you'll need their source, unfortunately, right now.
That's
and the project files and so forth. Them just sending you the executable with data, there isn't any way to get that onto the Xbox except through C# Express today.
Well, I'm gonna pay for that because I want to play other people's weird games. And even though I'm not a game developer, I'm curious about how it works, you know? So I can go through, poke around, and you know, I'll do fun little things like put my photo in there and stuff like that, and maybe my friend's photo and impress them and you know, become the leader of the pack, you know, through little tricks.
Exactly.
But yeah, there'll be a lot to learn, a lot to do. So yep. I'm very excited for this. Very good work, man. That's
cool.
Really cool.
Thanks.
Yeah, thank you for the interview.
Oh, no problem.
Well, okay, bye, Frank.
Bye.
And, you know, bye, Frank's office with all the cool posters and, you know, Strike Commander and all that other stuff. Okay, bye.
Bye.